Our first reading is from Psalm 85, beginning in the first verse. Lord, you were favorable to your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people. You covered all their sin. You withdrew all your wrath. You turned your hot anger. Restore us again, O God, of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them turn not back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and faithfulness meet. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Yes, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield in its increase. Righteousness will go before him and make his footsteps a way. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
My dear friends in Christ, please stand for the reading of the gospel. This morning we'll hear that God doesn't send his apostles out on their own. He's always with them. He sends them out two by two. He sends them out with the power of God. Do you suppose he does this with us? The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark. And he called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place will not receive you and they will not listen to you, when you leave, Shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. And so they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us to open our hearts and open our minds to you. The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be wholly acceptable unto you, O Lord. And I speak to you in the name of the living God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning once again. As a way of introduction, I'd just like to tell you a little bit about myself. That way you know who this strange guy is who's standing before you. I am so very thankful that Michael invited me to be here. This is a wonderful place. And y'all fit really well. Just to let you know, I've been an Anglican priest for over 22 years. I was a rector of three parishes. Most of them were in California, which is why I talk funny. I use words like awesome and awesome dude and whoa. But I also, I grew up in southwest Arizona in a little town called Yuma. But I got it, so I'm mostly from the west, but I do have to say my mom was born in Birmingham and she was raised in Jacksonville, Florida. So I learned from an early age that y'all is a good word. I have a love of grits and fried food. And had a steady diet growing up of watching Andy Griffith. So you know, this moving out here has been a wonderful fit. Before I went into the ministry, I was an Air Force officer. I flew in B-52s as a radar navigator bombardier. And I did that for a number of years before coming into the priesthood. Just to let you know, if you have any youth in the room, I received affirmation of my call to the ministry when I was 15 years old. Okay? But God had another plan for me before that happened. And so if you know any 15-year-olds who have the heart of the Lord tugging on their heart, encourage them. Encourage them. I left the parish ministry in 2015, and basically what the reality is that my wife and I prayed about it, discerned about it, discussed it, prayed more about it, and decided that the thing that we needed to do was to do the Abraham and Sarah thing and pull up our tent and move out to Charlotte where my elderly parents are. Both of them are 88 and they need assistance, they need help. I'm also a preacher's kid, which I understand runs in the family here. And so my father is an Anglican priest, and he has for many years been associated with All Saints Anglican Church there in Charlotte, and so that's where I am. My wife is a organist, choir director, music director, director of music ministries, with St. John's United Methodist in Fort Mill, South Carolina. So we have a very strong ministry family. do want to say, with all that, my greatest life achievement is yet to come. Because my greatest life achievement is knowing that I'm a child of God and a child of Jesus Christ, saved by his grace, and that one day I deeply hope to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Professionally, I am a hospice chaplain. I work with a hospice company centered in Rock Hill, and I'm what I describe as the circuit rider chaplain. Okay? So I go around and travel and visit with patients and families in their homes in the three major counties of Chester, Lancaster, and York counties up in upper South Carolina. So I'm driving around all the area, and it's my job to pray with the patients and the families in the most difficult times in their lives. And as you might imagine, that we are indeed in the Bible Belt. Most of the people that I run across have some connection with Christianity, some kind of connection with the church, but there are many who don't. And I got to tell you, no other work will teach you how important your faith is and to take matters of faith seriously than when you begin to work with the dying. Now, doing this work for over 3 years now has taught me a number of things, and most importantly, to be honest about the church. You know, as I'm alluding to, death and dying is where the rubber hits the road. And so I have to be honest about what really matters to people right here and right now. And my message to all that I meet is essentially this. And if you remember nothing else from today, I do hope that you will remember these three things. First, God loves you. He loves you. He never abandons anyone, and we cannot make him love us any more than he already does. God loves us infinitely. He can't love us any more than he already does. The second thing, remember that the promises of Jesus are really real. The promises of Jesus are really real. They are not cleverly devised myths devised by the schemes of man. The promises of Jesus are really real. And third, remember that God's mercy, love, forgiveness, and eternal life are his free gifts to you. Free gifts. And that's perhaps the greatest good news of all. You see, you didn't earn your salvation by your good behavior. And get ready, buckle your seatbelts. You didn't lose your salvation because of your bad behavior. The reason is, Jesus knows about them already and took them all to the cross. And his love, his mercy, and his forgiveness are his free gifts to you. Far too often, we hear that eternal rewards and God's love have to be either earned or deserved. Now, my brothers and sisters, if that were true, the Bible would speak of the wages of grace. And it never does. The Bible always refers to grace as a free gift. Okay? Now, the Bible does talk about the wages of something else, doesn't it? Okay? And the reason why it uses the word wages is because wages are what we earn, right? We're employed, we go to work, and we work hard, and what are we paid? We are paid our wages. But that ain't how grace works. It's God's free gift to us. Now, I know that somebody here has at one time gone to a sporting event and seen the guy in the rainbow clown hat holding up the sign, right? What does it say on it? John? Okay, what does John 3:16 say? Somebody quote it. Very good. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to the end that all that in him, and the word is believe, not behave in him. Did you catch that? It's about believing. Now, that's not to say that our behavior doesn't matter to God. It certainly does. But being a hospice chaplain now after 20 years of parish, I've learned something else. That in truth, the church complicates the message of the good news. The church complicates the message of the good news. And we do it on purpose. And it's a good thing that we do it on purpose. Why? Because we're all living complicated lives. And we believe, and we're here because we believe that the church has something to say about them. The church has an answer for our problems in our world today. God has an answer for all the things that we go to. Amen? And every day we're dealing with complicated stuff. War, poverty, illness, death, abortion. We're dealing with confusing things that we used to not be confused about. Like gender identity. Oh, come on. Let me give you the biblical answer. The Bible says two, male, female. Sorry, that's what the Bible says. Okay, that's what God says. God and Holy Scripture have the answers for us, absolutely, and the church needs to respond. But my brothers and sisters, the answers are usually complicated. And so we have to be complicated. The answers are seldom clear-cut. And we have to think about them and consider them using our God-given reason. And the Holy Spirit is our constant guide, and yet because we're human, sometimes we can get it wrong. Yes, we can. Even though we're absolutely convinced we're correct, we can be wrong. And yet every Christian has struggled with the reality of this is what the Bible says. What does it mean? Anybody like to read theology? You know, the famous theologians. One of my favorites is C.S. Lewis. You know, they're talking about Holy Scripture and they're talking about God and the reality. What they're really talking about is answering the question, what does the Bible mean? That's what we wrestle with. So the church struggles together with the complicated stuff, and that's a good thing. But we complicate the message. And what do people really need to know at the end of their lives? They don't need to know the complicated message. They need to know the simple truths. God loves you. The promises of Jesus are really real. And his love, his mercy, his forgiveness, his eternal life is his free gift to you. In our gospel today, we hear about the sending of the 12. And there's a good chance that you've heard this story before. And notice that Jesus sends his disciples and his apostles out with authority. Notice that he tells them essentially to be urgent. Don't concern yourself about the resources, for they will be provided. Don't get bogged down by what you don't have. Rely on God to provide what is needed. Notice that he tells them not to be concerned about those who are resistant. There will be people who will be resistant to God. Okay, spend your time with those who are interested in knowing about God. It's okay to walk away and let the dust from your feet fall and go to the people who will be receptive. This is the first time that Jesus sends them out, but it will not be the last. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus sends 70 out, and presumably the 12 apostles are yet among them again. And their purpose is the same: announce the kingdom of God and the good news. Cast out demons, heal the sick. This is the second time that Jesus sends them out. But it will not be the last. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, 120 are gathered together in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they're blown. You remember the story? They're all gathered in the room, and the tongues of fire appear upon their head. If you ever want to know where birthday cakes come from, and the Lord going and sending them out, blowing out those candles. I don't know if that's where it comes from, but that's where I like to think it came from. You know, and their message is of the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom of God, the good news of Jesus and repentance. That's their message. This is the same message that Jesus sent them without to go into the villages. This is the third time that Jesus sends them out, but it will not be the last. On the mountain after the resurrection, Jesus gives his great commission. I'll bet you all know that very well. Woo. The Spirit's with me. The Spirit's moving. I'll come back here. Jesus is on the mountain and he gives them the Great Commission, right? Go into the world. Spread the word. Baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. Right? All authority is given to me. go and make disciples. Brothers and sisters, the point I'm trying to make here is this. We need to know that we are just as sent. We need to know that we are just as sent. For Jesus declares at his ascension, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the whole world." By the virtue of the Holy Spirit given to us in baptism, we too have been given God's authority to go ahead of Jesus, just as they went ahead of him in the towns that he was coming to. We go ahead of him before he returns again. And that's why St. Paul refers to us as ambassadors of Christ. That's what ambassadors do, right? We are representatives of the King. And when we go before as an ambassador, we represent the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. So, why is this so important? My brothers and sisters, someday, at the end of your life, or at the approaching death of a loved one, this is going to be vitally important to you. The good news may be the only foundation that you have. And our message is always, always good news. Always. Not judgment. We can always preach repentance without judgment. I'm here to tell you that people already know how bad they are. How do I know this? I deal with the dying. In all my years, I have never met anyone who didn't have some level of regret for their sins. Christian or not, we all have them. But because of Jesus and the cross, we no longer need to be defined by our sins. So we're going to share news. Where do we start? Well, a good place is starting with John 3:16. It's something that many people know. You probably have dealings with people who've watched a sporting event and know that passage. But where can we go next? I'm frequently drawn to Romans chapter 8. And from the very first, I mean, just the summary of Romans chapter 8. Chapter 8 is good news. From the very first verse, there is there now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. For God has done what the law could not do by sending his own son to deal with sin. When we cry out to Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness that we are children of God. The Spirit helps us in our own weakness to intercede for us when we don't know, when we don't pray as we ought to. Is that good news? What then are we to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? And nothing separates us from the love of God. We are conquerors through him who loves us. And the same is true for you, and you, and you, and even me. So what's our challenge? Brothers and sisters, go and tell. That's our challenge. Go and tell, not go and sat. Let me ask you, what do the first two letters of the word God say? Let's say that again. The first two letters of the word God says, God. What do the first three letters of the word Satan say? You understand. If nothing else, always remember these things. God loves you. The promises of Jesus are really real. His grace, mercy, forgiveness, justice, and eternal life are his free gifts to you. You didn't earn them, nor did you lose them, nor do you have to have the acrobatics that I have showed you this morning. And I praise his holy name. May his holy name always be praised. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.